flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Howard under center. Hands to Judkins. Straight ahead goes Judkins and into the end zone for another touchdown. Quinshon Judkins, a one-yard jaunt to the end zone. His second rushing touchdown, his third of the night. And it's 27-7, Ohio State ahead of Notre Dame.
Thank you to Paul Keels on Learfield. It would become a lot closer than that. Notre Dame pulled to within one score late in the fourth quarter, but ultimately a massive, massive throw. Will Howard to Jeremiah Smith for 56 yards was what capped stopped a Notre Dame comeback curl-off. It became a lot more exciting game in the fourth quarter, and Ohio State wins it all.
Absolutely. Congratulations, Buckeyes fan. A couple questions about Quinshon Judkins, 40. I was like, he's chugging. Uh-oh, everyone's catching up on him.
Yeah, he was not. The afterburners did not kick in.
That was such a funny play. I'm like, go. I mean, not even rooting, but it looked like he was desperately trying. That was actually a big play because it was 21-7, right, at the half. And that felt like the final nail in the coffin. 2 minutes or like 2 seconds into the third quarter, then Ohio State relaxed. There's just no doubt about it. They played the clock, and one of the funniest things, to me, one of the big plays of the game was the Emeka Buka fumble.
Huge.
And the thing is, that was the best play of the game. Like, he basically caught the ball in traffic, broke about four tackles, broke a fifth tackle, and then fumbled the ball. But
it was a little Mark Andrews-esque. I mean, not to go back into...
No, but I think, like, Buka, like, put his draft stock up 10 picks with that play. It was incredible.
No, it was incredible.
Oh, I see.
Because, you know, you had the ball, you're making a play, and then here comes the punch out out of nowhere. Mark Andrews had the first down, had the play, and then here comes Terrell Bernard out of nowhere.
But Ibuka's play was fantastic.
It was great.
Crazy that he did that. Like, all those moves were amazing, and then he blew it.
Exactly. And so it was weird because you weren't saying, go down. No one was saying that. It looked like he was going to break free for a touchdown.
Right, and if they just hit a field goal there, the game would have been out of touch.
Yeah.
There was so many little key moments that kept Ohio State from putting the finishing touches on the game. The pass interference on was a third or fourth down, a huge pass interference. The Notre Dame touchdowns were by the narrowest of margins. It never felt like Notre Dame was going to really be able to mount a rally. Then they did it.
They did. They got it to a score. Again, there was a controversial call by Marcus Freeman from Notre Dame when you're down 16, but you have a fourth and goal from the 9, decide to kick a field goal, which still would have kept it a two-score game, but albeit easier because you wouldn't have had to do the multiple two-point conversions when you're down 13 as opposed to 16. But they missed a field goal. Oh, this has been a problem for Notre Dame all season long. And then in the playoff, their field goal kicker had been absolute nails and then missed a 20-something yard. It was a chip shot and missed it. Then on the other side of things, again, I mentioned that Jeremiah Smith finally, Ohio State realized we got to just end this thing. And it was that big play, as I said, 56 yards to Smith. He was in single coverage. It was 3rd and 11. Notre Dame brought the house trying to get to Will Howard, try to get him uncomfortable and bring pressure. And he found Smith.
So
then they kicked the field goal.
Let's talk about one of the big narratives at the end of the game. And I know you picked Ohio State at 8.5, right?
I did.
Scott Van Pelt gets on the sideline and says, I know we're all watching this game, wink, wink. And it was an 8-point game, and they were at the 10-yard line, first and goal, with about a minute left. Do they kick the field goal? And all of America was watching desperately, like doing math in their head about how long the clock was. But I looked at the clock and I'm like, there's no way. They obviously are not going to be able to run out the whole clock. Of course they're going to kick the field goal.
No, they couldn't run out the whole clock, but I feel like if this was an NFL game.
An NFL game, for some reason.
Sunk.
Yes. Yeah. NFL reason, Jeremiah Smith would have gone down at the one or something. It was very funny to everybody. I think someone in the announcer mentioned Al Michaels. Like,
yeah.
It was just a great national betting moment. It worked out for you at 8.5. By the way, we were talking about that spread on their text spread earlier. In my wildest dreams, I did not think Notre Dame was going to cover that spread. Like, the scenario didn't even cross my mind where it was 31-7. I was going to text you, like, where are you going to spend the money on that pick? Like, did it feel like the bet was over?
Unfortunately, I also had the under, so.
Oh, that one.
No, that wasn't so great. So kept me from having a really big night. But, listen. I don't want to say credit to Notre Dame. I'm sure they probably don't feel that way this morning. You know, they probably don't feel like,
oh, we almost covered.
Yeah, we almost covered. I think they don't feel like, oh, you know, participation trophy. But I think Ohio State just had way more at stake because the expectations were so high for them coming into the season. They had two losses. If this was any other format, they would not have even been playing for a national title. Ryan Day, God knows where he would be now if they couldn't avenge that Michigan loss and by steamrolling this tournament.
Yeah.
Just the sliding doors of this is all so fascinating to me. What I'm really curious about is just this Ohio State blowback. You know, honestly, I would have understood the blowback if Notre Dame had won. They're the polarizing program. But Ohio State, to me, nobody seems happy that this team won or impressed with their run. Obviously, outside of the Buckeyes fans, congrats to you and people who live in Ohio. But I thought they were going to get a lot more respect here.
Can I quote a friend? Not a friend. He's not a friend at all. But an oracle of the sports world, and I'd say the national cultural scene, Robert Griffin III. You never know what's going to come out of RG3's face. But he tweeted after the game, he goes, moral of the story, Colin, spend $20 million and win a title. That is the vibe out there.
Okay, but let's not pretend that Texas spent $2 million. That's not true either. So I don't understand why Ohio State, who's simply just existing by the rules that we have today with NIL, that all of a sudden people are mad because they're NILing to the most.
Yeah, but the Yankees were spending within their existing rules and people called them the evil empire and hated their guts.
You know,
now people hate the Dodgers, not for actually possibly breaking the rules. Everyone's mad at the Dodgers for deferring money. Like,
okay,
people don't like the big spending teams. They never have.
Okay, but here's the thing. It's not like Ohio State's been doing this for decades. It's not like they've built a dynasty on spending. That's not, that was the Yankees' MO. That was the ethos. You want to talk about $100 handshakes? Let's go to the SEC.
Yeah,
you're
going to
look side-eyed at Ohio State? Let's talk about Alabama.
I don't think Ohio State's roster was exactly bargain basement back when Zeke Elliott was there, but I hear what you don't think Urban came from the SEC, Maggie. We don't have to connect too many dots.
Okay, but then you can't be happy for any big-time college team because I think they were all doing it.
No. But I think this was the reason this Ohio State team particularly is getting blowback because they're the first openly $20 million team. So they just feel like they should have won this one. And I think you never like the favorite. Even when Alabama or Georgia wins, like, I don't think you might be neutral on them, but you're not like picking them up as a fan. Like, wow, what a great achievement.
That's not the eighth seed. It wasn't exactly rooting for Oregon.
Just not with the 8 seed. The 8 seed. That means nothing in this particular field.
Okay. I mean, what do you have to do to get a little respect after you win the freaking title?
Who were the 3 and 4 seed when they were an 8 seed?
Arizona State and Boise?
Yeah. If Arizona State, who was a 4 seed, had beaten this 8 seed, it would have been like Chaminade beating Virginia. So don't tell me 8 seed.
Listen, you weren't even impressed with Arizona State in the comeback against Texas. So
yeah,
nothing impressed you in this whole 12-team playoff.
No, if Ohio State had come out there and really played their A game and just said, we're awesome, we're going to throw it all over the field, and we're going to try and win this in a blowout, I think I would have been a little more excited about Ohio State.
Okay, so your issue is Chip Kelly. Your issue is the offensive coordinator.
Well, no, Ryan, I don't think it's Chip. I think it's Ryan Day. I think they played not to lose after a certain point. And I get it. It actually was effective. Like, they didn't want Will Howard to risk throwing a pick six against that outstanding Notre Dame defense.
We're talking about two different things. Yeah. Talking about the manner in which they won this game.
That bothered me a little bit.
You want to nitpick about how conservative they got? That's one thing. That's not what I'm talking about, though. I'm talking about this feels like very emotional response, like people were waiting to come out of the woodwork to dunk on Ohio State, and doing it the day that after they win the title feels like sour grapes to me.
Oh, but people have had problems with Ohio State forever.
But think about what you're saying. Yeah. Like, what are some of the calls that we've gotten today and what you guys have said? Because they put an emphasis on the word the. Like, that's pretty flimsy, dude.
The fact that
LeBron James is one of their celebrity fans. Like, this isn't real stuff. The fact they spent $20 million, so Texas spent $18 million. What's the difference?
Do you tell me the doesn't annoy you? What?
It doesn't. It's a the.
Are you kidding me? It's the Ohio State. It annoys everybody else, I thought. I thought that was like a universal, nobody liked that thing except Ohio State fans.
I agree. That's what I thought, too.
I'm indifferent to it. What does it matter? So, guys.
By the way, I have similar problems. Like, kind of like the Michigan man is annoying. Like, anything, because you don't like the favorite.
You
root for Apollo Creed, Maggie.
I was saying, Maggie, you like root for Darth Vader and Voldemort as well?
Yeah.
Listen, they had to build all those infrastructures.
Voldemort took a lot of work to get back. I would give him that guy had some grit. You got to be honest.
I mean, what's the name of the Starship? Not Starship Enterprise. Where did Darth Vader cruise around in?
What's it called?
The Death Star.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think that thing got built by itself?
The Batmobile.
Someone had to lay the cable.
Yeah, nobody likes the Death Star.
Listen,
And Ohio State was kind of the Death Star this year. They came into the season with just way too much talent.
I love it. This is not to bring it 30,000 foot view. In this country, where we worship what? Wealth, money, front runners.
Nobody roots for front runners in sports. Okay. This is like nobody.
But I'm just saying, look at people we love billionaires. You guys love millionaires. Everyone loves that, except you want your sports teams to be what? Doing 50 cents on the dollar here? And you're gonna crush them for that?
Are we really having this debate that you think that people like big spending teams?
No, I just don't understand crushing a team after they win. And I don't think that Ohio State was so outspending the other teams in this tournament. I don't think that. What was Texas's payroll?
Yeah, but I mean, Texas.
They are not Little Sisters of the Poor.
They're not that good, though, this year. They played the wrong quarterback.
That is crap. They went to the Final Four 2 years in a row.
They're going to be way better next year.
They just paid their head coach, gave him a 7-year deal.
Next year's Texas team would kill this year's.
Yeah,
Texas
and they have Arch
team.
Manning. Like, this is not.
Yes, but they didn't play him.
This is not some, like, upstart team.
I mean, listen, Ohio State got through the field without the two Giants floating around, and we don't even know if they're Giants anymore because Nick Saban retired. So Georgia and Alabama weren't there. So it's kind of, they were like the lone person team to focus on. I mean, Georgia was in the
playoff. Georgia won the SEC.
Yeah, but they were in the playoff. But I'm saying they weren't in the final game. Like, of course Ohio State's going to be perceived as the favorite, as the David versus the Goliath of Notre Dame. I mean, vice versa.
Notre Dame.
Yeah.
David.
Notre Dame's a mid-level ACC team that made it to the final game. I think that's impressive.
How many
biblical references, by the way, are just disastrous on
What's
the show? Our biblical references are just disastrous.
We're never going to get it right.
Nick Costos, Maggie, not Perlow. I'm going to say something crazy in a week. Manny, we just got to just leave it.
I know. Old Testament, New Testament, we got nothing.
Need holy water in this show.
Yeah. I mean, we have to have a new show, 12 Commandments, about how we don't talk about the Bible.
Perfect. Chef's kiss. You're talking about the most storied college football program in Notre Dame and now Ohio State. They're the big bad villains because they spend a couple $1 million more than the next person. You guys are reaching to say they're unsavory because, and you don't like them because they say the Ohio State. That sounds really silly.
Well, no, now we're getting caught up in the argument and you're forcing us into this take. Like, I don't think anybody had enough, like, people just mildly dislike Ohio State. It's not Duke. Let's not get me wrong. Like, I just don't think neutral fans like Ohio State. I don't think they hate them like Duke, the old Notre Dame, the Yankees. People don't hate Ohio State. They don't even think about them that much to hate them, I think. I think they're just generally a little unlikable. Is that a fair assessment? Or, EJ, you might hate them.
What are you saying again?
I don't think people hate Ohio State like they hate Duke basketball.
No.
I think they just mildly dislike them. I don't think this is like, wow, this super likable team just won the title. I think it's more of a, well, it was like a B- title game. It just doesn't, I don't know, there was something missing in the way this all went down.
You know how I feel? To me, it's like, oh, these guys again. That's how I feel. Like, to me, like, it's like, oh, I like, we got to deal with these pretentious dudes for another however many. Because they're not, see, the difference between Alabama, because you mentioned Alabama earlier, is like they rise up to that expectation. They're always before Nick Saban left, they were always in the mix. You never felt like they were underachieving. Like, to me, I look at Ohio State and I look at them as a team that's usually underachieved. I look at them as a team that this year kind of like got their paper in just before the deadline.
Okay, wait, yeah.
I don't look at them as like, oh, they're the guys who, you know, did all the right things and have developed the right way and then they won. To me, it's like, oh, you finally did it. Congrats.
Okay, wait, hold on 1 second. Alabama, a team that shouldn't have even been in the college football playoff a year ago. The one who got the breaks, the one who got the benefit of the doubt, the one who pushed Florida State, an undefeated team, out of the four. That Alabama team, that's the one that earns everything that they get? That one who got the benefit of the doubt from a committee?
Yeah.
That is not, I do not see it the same
almost
way.
Almost won the title, too, of Milroad and Split.
No, I would have to wear a wrestling singlet.
Yeah.
I was right there with you. It was cold and annoying.
Well, but I mean, first of all, by the way, can we just say
they got breaks.
But
that team got a break.
The one thing, too, that's funny about this Ohio State team, we keep talking about them. This is an incredibly likable group of guys. Like, watch Ibaka in an interview. Like, personally,
yeah.
He's incredible. Will Howard's incredibly likable. Jeremiah Smith is a pleasure. I mean, he's a superstar, and he's got nothing but positive energy. Like, the kids are great. JTT, Captain Jack, they're a really great team. It's the program. There's something about these powerhouse programs that invite antipathy.
I think there was something. I agree with you. I think we're trying to keep this not personal. Although I think people get very personal with Ryan Day. But
he represents a program and something else.
There was something about maybe the losing to Michigan, and then Michigan goes to plant the flag, and it turned into a post game scuffle.
I don't know.
And I thought, I don't know. It depends, I think, how you came down on that. Was Michigan in the wrong for trying to plant the flag, or was Ohio State in the wrong for, you know, turning it into a brawl?
It was funny. A caller earlier in the show said, Maggie, how did you do this? You turned Ohio State into an underdog. Like, because you mentioned their grit and resilience to come back from that Michigan win. I agree with what EJ said. It felt like they should have never put themselves in that spot anyway.
What'd you say, EJ, turning in the paper 5 minutes before it's due?
Yeah, and they getting an A+. It's like, all right, we know you're brilliant.
Yeah. And by the way, they wouldn't be here if there was a 14 playoff. That's the amazing irony of this thing. We wouldn't have LeBron on the sideline. Yes, we would have had LeBron on the sideline for Oregon. Wearing green and yellow. He would have been there.
To be fair. Oregon's given him Nike's given him like $100 million.
He definitely he would have been in the crowd cheering, wearing green and yellow. That's why people have a problem with LeBron. That's a fact.
Yes, but you can't have a problem with him for that because you're the bandwagoner of bandwagoners.
No, I just find it entertaining. Just of course LeBron's on camera. Like, I think he was the first person they went to in the crowd. After they sealed the win, they go, LeBron, who's like the biggest person in that box by about a foot and a half. It was high comedy.
What's the Lakers' schedule? When do they play again? Tomorrow, I'm assuming. 855-212-4227. You can vote on our poll. Do you consider Ohio State likable? 80% of you say no.
Yeah.
That one.
They don't hate Ohio State, though, but they're just definitely not likable.
855-212-4227. You can watch the show. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet, Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. Perloff and I and EJ are all matching today. So we are all in sync now. EJ.
Eagles green.
Perloff and I are infiltrating your brain.
I'm wearing Eagles green. You're wearing Eagles green. I can't, EJ.
Also green.
Let's go, Bird!
But EJ could be arguing he's about the Jets, meaning that he knows that there's something happening today. There's going to be a hire. Is that why you wore green?
I almost wore this sweater yesterday, and I just didn't. So then I was like, I'm going to bring this one back. No reason behind Eagles or Jets or anything.
No.
I'm not celebrating the Jets until Aaron Rodgers retires. I told you guys.
You'd be lucky to have him.
And we're not wearing green if you're not watching, it's not a Kelly green. This is not a Notre Dame green.
No, it's just we're all in sync together.
E-L-T!
Should have worn silver and red. We screwed this up.
scarlet and
I'm not
garnet,
wearing those.
I
what they I'm say, not wearing those colors.
Why?
Because 90% of Manny's wardrobe is Knicks related.
That, number one. And number two, Penn State keeps losing to these losers in Ohio, so I'm good on the Buckeyes. No, they're not a likable team, Aggie.
Salty Manny.
Maybe next year.
Some of Manny's worst nightmare fuel is just keeps happening.
I hate football.
It's just like every one of your rivals keeps winning in these like very personal ways.
How does a 12-team playoff have to, here, question for you. How does a 12-team playoff have to play out for Penn State to win the national title? Does like
the, they have to play?
Did the other quarterback have to like fall into like a
crevasse,
a crevasse no, they right have before to, the game? Like, what would it take for Franklin to win the big game?
To beat a MAC team in the first round?
Yeah, Bowling Green,
Sunbelt team in the second
Sunbelt
round.
Team with an injured quarterback. Yep.
Maybe an American team in the third round in the semifinal, and then maybe in the national championship they can go up against I don't know, somebody from the Pac-12.
They're like the 12-team playoffs to start, but we're going to need more help committee. Sorry,
they're going to have to get some teams from the Mexican college football league to come on up here. That's the only way Penn State will be able to raise a trophy.
Can they just play in the FCS tournament? There's another tournament on the other
still
side.
Lose North Dakota State every year.
They're not being North Dakota State. That program's a wagon.
Maggie and I had a pre-show debate who's the best quarterback in this tournament. And we were saying, like, it seems obvious that anyone compete with Drew with Will Howard. We were like, well, what about Drew Aller? Then we looked up his stats. Oh, dear God.
Well, and he cost you the game.
We are. 127 yards, 171 yards, 135 yards in the Notre Dame game.
Manny, at least
he's
your mom
supposed to be a first round pick. The guy can't throw for more than 130 yards.
Manny, your mom was enjoying the game last night.
My mom is clueless. She saw a picture. She saw Marcus Freeman on the screen. Saw the ND on his chest and promptly, without hesitation, asked, "Oh, is that the coach for Nostradamus?"
Is that a school?
That is the person who lived like in the 1800s who predicted everything.
I don't think it's the 1800s.
I know who Nostradamus is. Is there a school named after this man?
Not probably
it's a
wherever
school.
He's from.
You couldn't have seen that coming?
Yeah. The stories I hear.
Clearly,
about,
you couldn't go there, Pearl.
Stories I hear behind his glass about Manny's parents and what they see
also,
in the world.
Nostradamus University.
It's crazy.
Also, after Ohio State made it 21-7, she again, without hesitation, asked, "So it's 3-1, right?"
Yeah.
Game 7 coming up in a couple
That's
weeks.
That's what I thought. I was like, she thinks this is a best of 7?
No. She thought it was a 3-1 score in the game because 21, 3 touchdowns to 1 touchdown. So in her brain, it's 3-1.
We need more of your mom on the show.
Been watching the sport 20 years. Still doesn't understand a first down.
I want more Mrs. Rodriguez. Not less. More. I want all of her opinions on Marcus Freeman and everything else.
The head coach of Nostradamus.
I like ND's chances this year. They have a good squad. Go Nostradamus.
It's so good. 855-212-4227. Okay. Coaching carousel. Perloff mentioned it. Big decisions coming today. We had a big domino fall yesterday. And of course, you're welcome to weigh in. Is Ohio State likable? Give us a call.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. Our friend Diana Rossini of The Athletic has been all over the coaching carousel in the NFL. She reported this morning that Aaron Glenn will be in the building with the Jets today, and they don't want to let him get out, but they're worried the Saints might also make Aaron Glenn offer. He is, of course, the Lions defensive coordinator. And yesterday, Ben Johnson took a job with the Chicago Bears. But Maggie, you think that it might be a little bit, the Bears fans might be over celebrating a little bit.
Listen, I get it. You're probably excited because you saw him do great things with the Lions offense. I just am pumping the brakes that this guy's going to be the second coming here. And I get why you did it. And you got the one of the top guys on the market. But there is a long list, a laundry list, if you will, of guys who are awesome offensive coordinators. And then when they got to the top spot, it didn't work out. And I think he's got some things working against him, which is I think that the Bears front office meddles. I think that the elements hurt you. And if you're trying to be this offensive guru, well, you take 8 of your home games away from indoor Detroit and put them now outdoor in windy Chicago. And I also think that we got to figure out who Ben Johnson's really going to be. Is he going to be as aggressive as Dan Campbell wanted to be? And if so, is he going to be able to deal with the backlash of that? Because Dan Campbell gets a ton of criticism. And Dan Campbell, I think, really set the culture for the Lions and had to go through a lot of ups and downs, including a major down right now, which is losing in the first, the divisional round to the Commanders. It's different when you're in the top chair.
Well, it's funny. I read a lot about Ben Johnson yesterday. He's like, we know a little bit about it, but really, he's a bit of a mystery, right? Like, he doesn't really present himself. So I guess he was like a big pusher of the fourth down philosophy when he got there. Like that, he's a big part of that. I think he might have been before Campbell on that, which I think that's a plus probably. I don't like when they do it in their own territory, but regardless, he's supposed to be this crazy competitive, crazy intense guy. So that's a good thing. Like he's supposed to have like, Kalen Keller wrote the story, like he's apparently the most intense coach in the entire NFL.
Okay.
Like he's got Belichick-ism, like he's basically like, everything about him says like, this man, not only do people love him and follow him around, like he is like no nonsense, feels like he has all the elements, like you're right, you have no idea how it's going to work out. But there really isn't a lot of analyses for this. There's not a lot of guys who stayed and then had this feeding frenzy. He's just not your normal offensive coordinator. There's so many things that are unique and different about him.
Really?
Like, I mean, like...
What?
Like, I can't even think of, like, I'm trying to think of a guy who was super hot, stayed, and then, like, pretty much every team in the league wanted to offer him. Then he got one of the highest paid salaries in the league without even ever coaching. There's very few hires like that.
I can think of two guys who the Chicago Bears have brought in as an offensive genius just in the last decade that
like
didn't
who?
Work out. Matt Nagy and Mark Trestman.
Oh my God, Mark Trestman. People were shocked when they picked Mark Trestman. He was the hottest thing in the world. No,
okay.
He was the opposite. They're like, oh my God, they just took Mark Trestman? Ben Johnson's like, everybody knew who he was. Everybody wanted him. It was a feeding frenzy.
And what
Mark Trestman was like, they found him under a rock.
What about, he's supposed to be this genius guy
who was
going to be super creative with the offense. What about Matt Nagy, the offensive
Nagy
coordinator?
Nagy was not that hot. Everyone was worried that he was an Andy Reid. I mean, it wasn't like this. It wasn't a feat. Maybe I missed it. It wasn't like six teams were competing like, oh my God, I got to get Matt Nagy.
Okay. And what do you always say? The guy who people fall in love with this time of year, the media, other bad teams who are looking for coaches, like you're going to trust that the Saints, the Jaguars, the Bears, and the Raiders are fighting over him. Oh my goodness. Yes, the who's who of awesomely run football programs in the NFL.
And all that being said, he's called the Jets and said no thank you.
And even said no thanks to the Jets.
Yeah.
Might have been a
smart thing. Absolutely right. But he's just there. It's a bit of a different case. And also, he wasn't coming up from Andy Reid. He wasn't an offensive coordinator with no play calling duties, which I think Nagy was the first time around. It's just very different.
All right. Well, you're not just in charge of the offense anymore. Now you're in charge of the whole team.
I don't think that's a problem. I think the bigger problem you point to is the structure of the Bears. But here's a bottom.
Also, they're not as good as the Lions. Like they don't have a roster that's as good. Maybe Caleb Williams still has a shot to be really good, but they don't have the offensive line.
Yeah.
They don't have the horses. Like it's just not the same.
Well, the bottom line is he had Caleb Williams. That I think that's why he made the decision. And that being said, like the Lions also have some also-rans on that offense who just like David Montgomery was. Not like they got him in, like they don't have a lot of first round picks on that offense. Like they can, who knows, like how many of those guys are because of the great system. Like Amon-Ra St. Brown was a fourth round pick. Laporta was a second round pick. I guess that's kind of high. Sewell and Gibbs are first round picks, but they have a lot of guys who come in and just fit that system and just go, you know, some of their first rounders, some of their line, but but
Jared Goff was the number one overall pick.
Yeah, but I mean, Jared Goff, for example, like he pulled Jared Goff off the garbage heap and he was supposed to be a bridge quarterback until the next guy. I just think like he could find guys. He'll have more picks. He's got first round picks, Roma Dunze. He's got Caleb Williams. He's got a first round left tackle. I think he's got another first round lineman, kind of like the Lions. And then yeah, I think he's got some pieces there. Then he'll bring in some. The Lions are going to lose some guys. He'll take them. Like, he could really build this fast, I think. Especially because Caleb Williams will be going in his second year. I think he could be in the playoffs within his first 2 years for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not that confident that this is going to happen.
So were you surprised at the money then?
No, I'm not surprised at the money because I think that teams are desperate. And the Bears have to make this Caleb Williams thing work. And that's so important. And, you know, I'm just not sure, you know, the Bears, Caleb Williams said the number one thing was strategy, right? That was the number one thing, game strategy. And what happened with Eberflus on Thanksgiving and how embarrassing that was is probably what he's referring to. You have no clue what this guy's like. Not a clue.
Who is this guy? Ben Johnson?
Ben Johnson.
Strategy-wise, though, you do.
Well, but he could be the smartest person on planet Earth. Can he call timeout at the right time? Is he going to do something dumb? You have no clue. And neither do I.
Oh, but yeah, but you know what kind of offense he wants to run. Like, that's... Oh, so wait, Caleb Williams was saying game strategy.
He was talking about in-game.
Yeah, but that's a mistake. Because the most important thing is run-pass balance and things like that. Like, there's, what, 70 offensive plays? Like, that's where Ben Johnson is going to win or lose. It's not going to be in 2 minutes.
855-212-4227. Bogus has headlines for us. I'm curious on the Bears fans. How do you think this is going to go? They're probably excited.
I would love to know if the Raiders offer him 20, like the rumor out there.
Oh, and they turned down Tom Brady.
I mean, they don't have a quarterback.
And no way to get one.
Yeah, no. That's the second issue. Like, the Caleb Williams, like, at least they have Caleb Williams. Aiden O'Connell is not a reason to leave Detroit.
I also think it's hilarious that the Bears, I guess, did what they said, turn over every stone, talk to 17 guys, and then pick the person that we thought they were going to pick before
this whole
thing started.
Yeah.
Maybe they were playing negotiations because they thought the Raiders are going to make a big offer.
It was like they were just killing time. We can't interview him. There's pockets of time where we can't do it. So in the meantime, we'll talk to everybody else.
Yeah, same with
Eddie George. Eddie George got them Rooney Rule. That was their first minority interview.
I think it's two interviews now. He was the second one. He satisfied the Rooney Rule to hire
Eddie
Ben
George.
Johnson the next day.
By the way,
seems disrespectful.
The Jets have won Aaron Glenn from day one, and they've interviewed a cast of thousands. Yeah. So what's going on there?
Yeah, I had mine last Thursday.
But at least I don't know if you're going to get the job in.
They didn't stand there and tell us they were going to be creative and exhaustive. And
they didn't even go outside the division.
They actually did say they were going to be creative and exhaustive. They said, we're not going to let the owner's teenage sons make the pick. That's the only public announcement they made.
Remember, we're going to get offense, defense, and special teams.
But no, really, just offense.
All right. We had a fun hour making fun of that. But mostly offense.
College. And pro.
I know. Not all at once, guys.
Eddie George, college.
That's true.
Eddie George is outside the box. I'll give you that. Didn't see that one coming.
By his standards, it was a relatively quiet night for Ohio State star freshman receiver Jeremiah Smith, but he was on the receiving end of their biggest pass play of the national title game.
Howard out of the shotgun, back to pass at his own 25. He'll gun that deep down the right side, and it is caught by Jeremiah Smith at the 30 of Notre Dame. He's taken to the Fighting Irish 10-yard line by cornerback Christian Gray.
Paul Keels from Learfield. That was a 56-yard completion on 3rd and 11 with Notre Dame trying to get the ball back and continue their comeback from a 31-7 hole. But that connection allowed the Ohio State to ice its 9th national title with a short field goal in the final minute. They won 34-23 to become the first champ in this 12-team format after being the first school to win the first 4-team playoff back in 2014. Smith finished with 5 catches and 88 yards with one of Will Howard's 2 touchdown passes. The other went to running back Quinshon Judkins, who also scored twice on the ground. Notre Dame QB Riley Leonard accounted for 3 scores, including a 1-yard plunge on a game-opening 18-play, nearly 10-minute drive. But he does not get the natty that he came to South Bend for.
We've learned a lot. We've been through ups and downs. I've been through ups and downs. I don't even recognize the person I was before I got to Notre Dame. And it's all credit to these guys beside me and everybody else in the locker room.
Can I ask a question? What was up with the eye black all over one side of his face? Did anyone else notice that? Just me? I tried to figure it out like on the internet, and it wasn't giving me anything.
So I've noticed that guys wear, especially when they don't need eye black, they wear it on only one cheek, and maybe that just sweat melted down his face. It wasn't supposed to be...
No, like there's the Saquon Barkley where he's got like under one eye, right?
Loser.
I think it's I think the hot thing now in the college age kids is Phantom of the Opera, the play.
It's making a comeback.
I mean, Wicked is like the number one movie.
Yeah,
so.
Wicked's the number one movie. These players are like, yeah, we got to tap into the Broadway community here.
This is what's going to make us way more.
Did
more
you see
rivals.
After the game when Emeka Ibuka went into memories from Cats? Like, this is a
jazz
thing now.
I'm calling it the Taylor Swift effect. This is. Yes, instead of Jameson Williams humping the air, maybe we can get a two-step.
Two, three, four.
And five and six and seven and eight and step ball change.
So you think Riley Leonard was unrecognizable with the eye black? I think he's unrecognizable because he's been hit so many times, his face has actually moved.
Oh, my God.
I've never seen it. They let him out there like a battering ram. Like
they don't like him.
Like there were plays where he got up. I'm like, I don't even know if he's going to survive to get back to the huddle. And yep, here he is.
The draft stock plummeted just now.
That first drive is like he's going to be going home in a body bag if they keep doing this. And he needed like three drives to recover from that first drive. Meanwhile, now they're down 21-7. Right. It's like that didn't work, guys.
Then they're passing the ball like crazy, and they're like, all right, let's mix in a 2-yard run where he's going to be on the ground on all fours crying after the play.
No, look back at the photos. For some reason, one side of his face has eye black on it.
It's weird. I've never seen this before.
Because it's not like the ultimate warrior, you know, it's just like all coming down under their eyes and stuff. That I get.
He's on TV right now.
Yeah, look at the side. It's like his face got bruised. Somebody make it make sense. Anyway.
Riley, you don't look cool, man. Don't do that again.
I give him a lot of credit. That, no one's questioning that guy's toughness.
No,
he's got eye black on the side of his face. Like, yeah, mix it up. Guy has actually dirt on him, and the game was played indoors.
On turf.
That's how tough he was. That's how hard they hit him. He's got dirt on him. They drove him so far into the ground, he hit the Earth's core.
He's 6 feet under. He somehow got back up.
As we were discussing a few minutes ago, former Jet player Aaron Glenn is poised to become the Jets' new head coach. Maybe by the end of today, the Lions' D coordinator in Jersey, for a second interview. No other candidate is scheduled to get one, and Glenn reportedly talking to possible assistants yesterday.
You
I am not.
Okay,
it's like I ate something. Ate Riley Leonard's dirt.
It's funny. It's like, man, they're going to hire Aaron Glenn. It's like, yeah, that's really close to all the other people they've hired. Well, defensive coordinators from good teams.
There's two things here that are funny. One, that he's the only second interview. Like, if the Saints hire him today, I will laugh so hard. I'm like, oh, no other second interviews. I guess we're going non-coastal next year. But you're right. He is like, they had a defensive coordinator, Rex Ryan, Robert Saleh, and Todd Bowles. They're getting another defensive coordinator. Make it make sense.
It doesn't. I mean, or they think Aaron Glenn's the guy. I also love this.
I get
that.
He's really cool.
I love the... can't let him out of the building. I've heard this so much. Yeah. Can't let him out of the building. It always reminds me of when Blake Griffin a long time ago tweeted a picture of the chair under the door when they were trying to get DeAndre Jordan to re-sign with the Clippers a long time ago.
Oh, that's funny.
It's a little deep cut from the internet, but it's like someone's barring the door. Like all of a sudden, what, C.J. Mosley's in there, like protecting it? I don't know.
No, Brick Ulbrich.
No, did you see Ulbrich got hired? Yeah. Falcons defensive coordinator.
Oh, I mean Brick Johnson, excuse me.
Yeah. Get your bricks right.
It's also the Jets. There are probably three unlocked doors.
Yeah. Like, I'll just go out the side.
Yeah. He's like this, he actually walks into some side door, it's pitch black in there. Hey, it's Aaron Rodgers. What's going on, man? That's actually how it plays out.
Come on in, sit down and pass the seat next to him.
I'm right over here. You can't see me? Hey.
Don't be a freaking weirdo.
Just in here, got some literature about some conspiracy theories.
Had a couple really interesting nights on the medicine.
Here, drink this tea.
I said use ayahuasca like a.
Let's talk about caterpillars turning into butterflies for a couple hours.
If Glenn takes the Saints job, the second round of interviews will be in Costa Rica over an ayahuasca ceremony. Like, this is a mess, right?
Will hit me in the darkness.
Come here. Let me paint your face with a little Riley Leonard's eye black.
Also, Aaron Glenn has choices. Is this the right one? I know he played there.
I mean, the choices are the Jets and the Saints. So.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Can I close with politics? You guys mind?
Yes.
All right. I guess it's like a cousin of a mayor misspelling Eagles. C-SPAN yesterday during inauguration coverage was taking phone calls, and it didn't go well.
Graham. And Jersey City, New Jersey, Democrats line.
Hi,
I want to wish everyone a happy MLK Day. I hope everyone's staying warm. I'm a bit disappointed how the election turned out. I think it would have been great to see a female president inaugurated today. While I'm disappointed in the American people and their desire to see another 4 years of Trump, I'm a bit more disappointed in the selection committee for not picking Alabama for the college football playoff final. Instead, picking inferior teams like SMU and Indiana. Truly dark times in America.
Okay. Graham there. We've got pictures of more of the president's hopeful cabinet.
Oh, my
E-L-D.
Yeah.
Let's go, Bird.
I mean, if that C-SPAN guy was worth his salt, he would have brought up the Vanderbilt game immediately.
How did he not have a counter ready?
Yeah. I mean,
see Jalen Milroe play against Oklahoma? Yeah, game set could, match, guy.
Yeah, if he could see the blindside rusher once all season long, then maybe we have a discussion. But the dude fumbled about it 600 times.
I don't understand this question.
You were a 20-point favorite on the road.
Yeah. Honestly, like... Tell that guy, what about South Carolina and Ole Miss?
What's up
got
that?
To say about them?
What's
Graham
up with
in
that?
PA?
I feel like the person who's screening calls for C-SPAN on Inauguration Day is as stressed out as Stu Kovacs, yeah, who has to work the board for the Jim Rome smack-off. It's like, good luck. He's sweating bullets, just trying not to let a curse word get through.
Maggie, you've dealt with many calls trying to dupe you. Like,
yes.
And you know I can tell, you know the clues. Did you hear it come in there?
It was hidden,
yeah,
really well. Now you basically just challenged the audience. Thanks for a lot that I can sniff out.
Well,
calls.
If it's going to be that good, then please bring it on.
Bogus, thanks a lot. All right, coming up, we have our big, bold prediction. What's going to happen by the end of today?
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. So I had a culinary experience last night for the first time. That sounds weird.
Yeah, that sounded really like highfalutin.
For the first time? Yeah.
Cooked for the first time?
Or it sounded slightly erotic. Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, who else was there?
It was like 5 friends, so it was not, well, now it even sounds even kinkier.
Yeah, anyway, where are you going with this?
Not me again.
Is this like 9.5 weeks or something?
I did Korean hot pot for the first time. I've walked by this place a million times and always wanted to go in there, but was intimidated by it. I had no idea what it was. Not the slightest idea. I know you know what it is, Maggie. Do you guys know what Korean hot pot is?
A vague idea.
So it's basically you get a boiling vat of soup that you put on an oven in front of you, and then you cook things right in front of you. Stick them into the soup.
Like thin slices of meat, vegetables, stuff like that. And so it cooks on the table.
I've been to Korean barbecue. That's not what this is.
Yeah, well, it's, you could also do Korean barbecue where you cook the meat in front of you.
Yeah.
That I've seen, been to many times. Benihana. Right. But the thing about
hibachi.
This is...
Yeah, that's different. That's not Korean.
Not table Korean barbecue. Okay.
Yeah.
What?
That's not Korean barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
That's Japanese.
Yeah, right.
It's hibachi, but anyway.
I always said, in Korea, someone told me there that you cook live animals in the soup, and that's like a big deal. Like the shrimp are alive, and they're as fresh as possible, or the fish are alive, and you stick them into the soup.
Oh, like...
And you could do that in New York City, apparently, too, they said. So you could eat live hot pots. That's more traditional. Who's in?
But you want to... Wait, you want to do the one where we're killing shrimp on our own?
Yes. The shrimp are alive.
It's a family of chicken killers.
Right.
That's the freshest possible fish.
He talked about dropping Hermes from a building. Of course he
has no problem. His pet tortoise.
Wow. Well, I mean, you could throw some tortoise meat into a hot pot. That'd be good. But
come on.
So he was saying, like, it's a big deal to take the shrimp or, you know, it's just a shrimp, and they're sort of squiggling a little bit. You stick them in the hot pot, and 3 minutes later.
Have you ever killed a lobster in a pot?
Yes, exactly. It's the same exact
they scream.
Process. Mm. Yeah. Same thing. We do that and nobody blinks.
I also screamed after the Commanders and the Eagles both clinched the spot. In the
yeah, like same thing.
Like, want us to dip you in a vat of boiling soup?
It's more like a low-pitched squeak.
Yeah, that's exactly the sound that we made as well.
They're not like screaming in pain. It's just the life escaping them.
That's what it sounded like.
Anyway, I want to go to authentic hot pot where we kill animals.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I'm in because Korean barbecue is delicious, except for the fact that you smell like the meat for days after because you're sitting at the grill. Mm. So this probably takes that off the table.
Well, no, because they also had a Korean barbecue right in front of us too. So people were cooking meat and doing hot pot.
Yeah.
It's very spicy. That's one. And it, as you cook it, it gets spicier because the broth cooks off and you have nothing but spices left. So by the end, it's supposed to be really spicy, which is I'm not great with.
So I'm not going to go. And here's
the live animals.
No, not because of that. I'm not a vegetarian or anything, so I'd be a little hypocritical. I would like someone else to kill the food, but I also want someone else to cook the food.
You don't like to cook your own food. I got it.
I don't like to cook my own food.
We'll cook your food.
No, I don't trust you guys. I don't trust you.
It's not like
there's just no hanging out with this group.
They cut it up for you. All you have to do is take a tongs and stick it into the soup.
No, I've done it before. I'm the one other person who's
done it. That was too much, sticking it into the soup.
I want someone else to cook it. I'm going to a restaurant. I cook myself and for our family, my husband, we both cook. If I'm going out, just put the plate in front of me.
Mm.
No?
I hear you.
I've seen places where you cook your own steak. I'm like, why would I want to do that?
Yeah, we did that last night. We cooked a bunch of steaks.
No, like not like a thin steak. Like, do I want it medium rare? I'm like, isn't that y'all's job? What am I doing?
I've never heard of that. But
yeah, they have a place like that in Denver.
Let me ask you... The question, do you check yourself out at the grocery store? If there's a line with a clerk and the self-checkout, which one do you go to?
Always go to the human.
Really?
Yes.
Whoa.
I love the human.
All right, grandma.
Well,
you're consistent.
A little conversation. How about that? How's it going today?
No. I got the gun. I get to the thing. Beep, beep. I'm out.
Yeah, then it says 20 items or less, and I know I have at least 27 in the cart. I'm going for it.
By the way, Bogus meant shopping gun.
the scanner.
Or did
scanner.
I?
EJ Stewart, thank you. Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogus, Angie Kaplan, Weedo's Coffee Drinkers. You guys are awesome on the phones as well. See you tomorrow.
ELV!